Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
That was as great of a football weekend as you'll ever see. I don't know why this popped into my head, but during the NHL playoffs, even you say this, you say nothing better than playoff hockey. I point to this weekend and say,
I disagree, sir.
Pretty good.
That's better.
This weekend was everything that baseball doesn't have. Fun and
well,
exciting.
Well, that's not fair because baseball has its moments.
No, not really. Here's Mike in Yonkers. Mike, what's going on? Look at all the Yankee fans in Medfield. Oh,
yes!
Yeah. Boring! What's up, Mike?
What's up, guys? Big Bills fan, and I got to just start off by saying, you know what? Congratulations to the four teams. At this point, you know, if each one of those teams play as well as they played this past weekend, then, you know, may the luckiest team win. You know what I mean?
Well, let's just hope we get a great Super Bowl. I don't think we're going to get championship games as good as we got this past weekend to be near impossible. So let's hope that the Rams and the Chiefs, it's where I think it's going to go. I'm sure everyone else does too. Let's see if we can get a great Super Bowl.
I agree. It's just one thing. I mean, that last game, the Bills and the Chiefs, forget about the first 47, the first 57 minutes or 59 minutes and 47 seconds.
Okay.
The 13 seconds at the end of regulation. All right. You could say, you know, maybe squib kick. I don't like a squib kick for that, but we should have kicked that ball short.
Yeah.
Fine. It didn't happen.
I think in the moment, obviously looking back on it, they probably would have kicked it short, not squibbed it. Try to force a return because they're not going to kneel on a ball inside their own 10, obviously, and take precious seconds off the clock.
Every second mattered.
But it gut is that, you know, maybe the situation, who knows, maybe he told the kicker to do it, unlikely. And maybe the moment was too big. They're all celebrating. You have 13 seconds left. And I'll tell you something else you saw. Because there's someone sitting at home right now going, see, I told you I was right, and he's wrong. I want to be clear about that. But I know right now what Mike McCarthy's saying. The difference, Mike, is that they had timeouts. You didn't. The notion first play up the middle.
It also couldn't be more different because Dallas needed a touchdown.
Yes.
Kansas City needed a field goal. Kansas City had three timeouts.
Yep. No, I'm
saying. They ran the perfect plays based on the defense that Leslie Frazier was showing them.
Yeah.
In fact, I think it took Kansas City less time than the Dak Prescott run.
It did.
Like their drive.
It took about 9 or 10 seconds.
Look,
right?
It was just perfect on every level.
Yeah.
Everything about that was perfect.
Part of that's also, the whole thing is that you had the timeouts, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
But you also have guys who can execute, right? You also threw the ball to your two best receivers, Tyreek and
Travis Kelce. But before that, like, Tyreek Hill is the fastest guy in the league.
By the way, when he turned on those jets about 5 steps into that touchdown,
right?
That was awesome.
That was unbelievable. But even on the first play on that 17-second drive, he's the guy who can catch the football, get down, and have a timeout called the quickest and get the most yards because he's the fastest guy in the world.
Yeah, that speed is awesome. And by the way, that goes down in Kansas City Chiefs history, obviously. And it's all about Tyreek Hill and the burners and, of course, flashing the peace sign on his way into the end zone. But if that pass is not perfectly in stride, it doesn't go down that way. Like if that's an Eli Manning type, you know.
Don't take shots at Eli.
Crossing down
that's the
slant.
Guy.
You know, a Zach Wilson attempted a slant.
That's better. Or Daniel Jones, for that matter.
The ball may have been caught, but it's not going 60 more yards. That's all. I love that. I wish I was that fast.
Oh.
Like, the things you could do with that kind of speed are just stupid.
Well, what's the number one thing that jumps out at you?
What he did.
Oh, okay. Wow. I was thinking, like, what, do you have something else in mind?
Like bank robbing. Something along those lines.
No, I wasn't even thinking that. I was thinking of you just randomly challenging people to races, like on the street, like, hey, want to race? Let's go.
Yeah. Well, like, there was a game we played back in the day, which is has been outlawed from schools, and rightfully so, because it's like a precursor to, you know, sexual assault.
What's that?
Well, in the 1970s, Evan, there was a schoolyard game that we all played that was called Run, Catch, and Kiss. So the boys would run after the girls. You would grab a girl and kiss her. That's really sexual assault. Is all that game really is. But I was just thinking, like, if I was as fast as Tyreek Hill, you know, lots of women.
So that was
the 1970s.
My 5-year-old came home and told me last week that there's a game they play called Kings and Queens. And I said, what's that? And he described it, and it sounded very similar.
Same game?
To where I said, is this allowed? Like, what are they teaching the 5-year-olds at school?
Run, catch, and kiss. That was the game we
played. Everybody seemed happy, so okay. Yeah.
It was also good exercise. Those girls were fast back in the day. Here's David in Stamford, Connecticut. David, how you doing?
Gentlemen, that was the best weekend of football in my 56 years on this earth that I've ever seen.
Says a lot.
I agree.
And two other things. You mentioned Giselle. I'd much rather see Jerry Jones after the Cowboys lost versus Giselle and her family.
No, Giselle, she was eating those natural chocolates, Theo's chocolates, and the kids there and all the other hanger-ons, glob-knobbers, and they showed the booth when they came back, but they didn't show it when they lost.
And those kids are pretty happy to be on TV. Well, one other quick question. There was that call. JPP went ahead and timed the clock and rushed across the line right as it hit zero, and they wound up getting that delay of game penalty on the Rams. I'd never seen that before, and it looked like he talked the refs into pulling the flag out of their pocket versus them throwing it.
On which play are we talking about? Which play?
In the Tampa LA game.
That was early part of the second half, right?
Yeah, and JPP times it. Yep. So as soon as it hits zero, he comes across the line and he's pointing at the clock.
Yep.
And the refs hadn't thrown a flag, and he talked them into going ahead and throwing the game.
That was odd. It was early in the second half of this game. The Rams had the football. It was like second down, and JPP, it was close. Like, you know, usually with these delay of games, it hits zero, and then they give guys like that extra beat.
It's like they do that, yeah.
But he's sort of right. It felt like the flag came in a tad late, and they gave it to him, and it was a delay of game, and they ended up punting on that possession.
Here's Doc and Hewlett on the fan. Doc, how are you?
I'm doing good, guys. One thing I'm not hearing about, I don't think the Bills were ready for that moment, okay? Everybody's talking about the squib kick, and I get it. That definitely should have happened. But
no, not the squib kick. A kick that they have to return from, like, the 2 or 3-yard line. A squib would be a disaster,
a 40-yard line drive kick on the ground, they got to return. It doesn't reach the end zone. But then after that, I'm playing, and I'm having one guy on the line at most. I'm double-teaming Kelce. I'm triple-teaming Hill. And I'm telling my guys, okay, when they go out, hold them, grab them, throw them down. There's no time left on the clock. Mahomes got nobody to throw the ball to, you see. So the strategy was ridiculously bad because, yes, you're right. They called the perfect plays based on the defense.
Yeah.
The defensive call.
Okay, but
as
far as the intentionally committing penalties thing, the only time we've ever seen a team do this, and the Ravens did it numerous times, they even did it in the Super Bowl against the Niners, is when they purposely hold and grab people on a punt. But as we explained earlier, there is a rule in the book where if the officials deem that this is happening on purpose, they could call it a, quote, palpably unfair act, put more time on the clock. And look, I don't know if they would ever call that, but we've also not seen teams do this. Like, we haven't seen teams employ a strategy in the final seconds of a game of, hey, let's purposely commit defensive holds.
Yeah, but I've never even heard that as a rule. And I guess part of it is that in theory, they could put time back on the clock.
So when the Ravens were doing that, the Ravens were purposely, I'm trying to remember the exact circumstance, but it was the Super Bowl.
But they grabbed everybody.
They grabbed everybody.
Yeah, I remember that.
And afterwards, the league, I think, told the officials, point of emphasis, don't let that happen.
Right.
Call the palpably unfair rule if something like that occurs.
Right. The issue here is I think it's highly unlikely that the referees in that moment, because it's not happened frequently, are going to put time back on the clock. Now, if you want to say that they might give you a 15-yard penalty, maybe. But the enemy was the clock, right. Not anything else.
Right, right, right.
So again, it's, you know, this, what's weird about it is, if you're one of these guys that wants to call up today or go on Twitter, you know, after the game and say, I told everybody in my house or at the sports bar or I was treating my friends and you know, texting them that they should short kick it. Great. Or that they should, you know, employ this automatic defensive holding scheme. Great. But if you didn't, you can't come up today and go, right. You know what they should have did? Because I was sitting there, to be honest, Romo mentioned the kick, so I give Romo credit for it. But I didn't even think of it. I didn't think of the defensive hold either.
The kick doesn't work unless you get it deep into territory.
Can you guys get what Romo said exactly?
As soon as they touch the football, the clock starts.
No, I believe Romo said short kick, did he not?
Right, but if he... Okay, but hear me out on this. So if they short kick it, if you're Kansas City, you fall on the football immediately.
Not on your own five, you're not going to.
It's getting to the five-yard line. Squid kicks aren't getting to the five-yard line.
That's not instinctually.
You just said short kick, right?
Yeah, like kick it to their 10.
Well, that's not a short kick.
Yeah, that's a short. That's what I'm saying. Short kick. Meaning
a high pop-up kick.
No, I'm not saying that either. I'm saying I'm going to kick the ball short of the end zone. I'm going to force a return.
Yes, yes. If you can
because
force
that clock's going to run.
Forcing a return at the 5-yard line, 10-yard line, I'm with you.
That's
but
what
some
I'm
of
talking
these squib
about.
Kicks are at the 35, 40-yard line.
Yeah, I'm not talking squib kick. I'm not talking pop-up for a fair catch.
I just want to make that clear because Kansas City, all they have to do is just fall on the football immediately.
Yes.
Now they get better field position, and they barely lost any time.
Yeah, what I'm saying, to be clear, because a lot of you knuckleheads may not understand what I'm saying is, I tell my kicker I want the ball short of the goal line.
Agreed.
Inside the 20.
Agreed.
Whatever.
Make them return it.
Make them return the kick because a tick, a tock.
As soon as the kick return team touches the football, the clock starts running. So if you're making them have to return it from the 5-yard line, you're burning at least, assuming they just don't go down.
3 seconds minimum.
Right. You're burning probably more than that.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to just go down at the 7-yard line.
No, you're going to try to make a play.
Yeah.
Right? Because I guarantee the Kansas City special teams coach didn't tell the guys, if the ball's short of the end zone, fair catch wherever it is. He probably, you know, probably, I don't even remember he said anything.
And look, the other thing is, they're still at their own 25-yard line with 17 seconds to go. Make a freaking play. Play football. Don't guard the sidelines as if going out of bounds matters. That's a first guess that I think everyone knew because Kansas City had all three timeouts. In fact, I don't even think they had to use all three of their timeouts. I only think they used two of them.
That was a masterclass in how to win a game with you know, a few seconds on the clock. Two plays, kick, win the toss, bang.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Not that you're thinking this way, but when the Bills have first down from the 19-yard line, you're thinking to yourself, after the fact now, don't get a touchdown immediately. Burn some more time. But then you're thinking 17 seconds should be little enough to where they're not able to drive the field and kick a field goal.
Yeah.
But Gabriel Davis, who became Jerry Rice yesterday, was wide freaking open.
Yeah, Gabriel Davis, who had three touchdowns yesterday. Was also drafted four spots after the New York Jets took James Morgan.
Yeah. Also, a few rounds after they took Denzel Mims. Now, I'm aware.
Yeah, but
Think Gabriel Davis with the Jets or the Giants is putting up massive career altering numbers?
I think he would have been on the IR all year. Or he would have been a malcontent. Something would have gone
awry. How about the fact that Josh Allen throws for 330 yards, four touchdowns, monster performance. Stephon Diggs had three catches for 7 yards, and his biggest play was tackling a fan. That was his biggest play of the game.
Have you seen the video of that?
I have.
He didn't even get a good hit on him. He gave him a shoulder. The fan did go down, but he had a chance to lay him out. And he didn't really lay him out.
He's the only guy on the football field who took a shot at that fan who ran on the field.
Meanwhile,
I give him credit for that.
His brother, Trayvon Diggs, was making big news this weekend. The great Dallas Cowboy cornerback who had like 40 interceptions this year. He broke up with his fiance. And took back the $150,000 ring he got her. And everyone was applauding that this weekend. My man, pots and pans. 877-337-6666. More of your calls. Just an epic NFL playoff weekend. And one of those games, four of those games, where there's no doubt you will remember where you watched it, who you watched it with, and the circumstances around that game and how it impacted you. Many of you gamble on these games. I know a lot of people had the Bills money line. That was the number one wager on the afternoon. Oopsie doopsie. And I've started to see, a lot of videos have started coming out, Evan, of Bills fans at home watching the final, you know, 30 seconds into overtime, and they are priceless. This is a fan base that watched their franchise, if they're old enough, lose, go to and lose four consecutive Super Bowls. How to deal with the reality that Thurman Thomas couldn't find his helmet. One game, the game against the Redskins at the time. Didn't know where his helmet was. Couldn't go into the game on time. Watch them suffer at the hands of a missed field goal and then blowout losses. And they will tell you that yesterday's loss was the most painful loss they've ever suffered.
May I ask you a question?
Yeah.
If someone filmed me while I was watching Kevin Durant's foot on the line or then in overtime throw up an air ball, I would not be happy with whoever filmed me. Would you be happy if someone filmed you as the Knicks? Nah, Knicks aren't realistic. As the Jets were losing the AFC Championship game of the Pittsburgh
Steelers. Well, here's the deal. The guy knows the camera's on him when good things are happening. And he's chugging Tito's and chugging beer. And he's standing on top of his own furniture. And then, you know, what happens, happens.
That's a dark moment. Like, I'm glad there's no video of me watching, you know, Mets-Yankees game one of the World Series.
What do you got there, Big Mac?
Oh, I'm surprised Evan has such a problem with it, considering I was sitting at Fenway watching the Yankees season fall apart in the wild card game, and yet he had no problem filming me.
You had a right at any moment.
I mean, like, did he say this guy?
At any moment.
It's a bad thing to do to someone.
What you're saying
is
right.
Can you imagine someone turning a camera on me during that moment?
Martin Scorsese over here.
Shame on that person.
Decided to film you at the Yankees-Red Sox wild card game.
Multiple times. Every time something went wrong, I had a camera in my face.
We edited it together on our TikTok channel. If you want to see all of the clips from that night, so just go to Carton Roberts on TikTok. But Big Mac, Craig, at any moment, if Big Mac said to me, look, I don't want to do this anymore, I would have shut that camera off.
Yeah, okay. Okay, yeah.
Well, I would have guilted him and said it's for the show.
Yeah, I would have singing your diamond and you're going, no good, no good. You would have stopped filming. Okay. Yes, you're right. Scorsese over here has got a problem. But yeah, the Bills videos are starting to circulate and go viral. And they're every bit as awesome as you might think they are. The only thing I've not seen yet, and you know you're going to see it, somebody in Buffalo or Bills fan living elsewhere is going to attack the television.
Oh, yeah,
there's
definitely.
No doubt that video is coming of the TV being thrown out a window, being ripped off the wall, having something thrown into it. I've not seen it yet. But that video is coming.
What would that scene have looked like if it was a home game for the Buffalo Bills? Like, everything plays out the exact same way. And the Chiefs win in Orchard Park, a packed house, postseason.
I honestly, Evan, and I lived there for just under a year, and I recognize times are different for sure. And I'm sure the city has evolved since then. They would have burned the city down. Now, remember, the Bills do not play in Buffalo proper.
Orchard Park.
They're not downtown Buffalo.
Where is that in
relation? They're in Orchard Park. It's like a good half hour. Like, it's not in downtown Buffalo. Yeah.
It's crazy to think about.
Orchard Park would have been on fire.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
Because they have, if you look at their history, they haven't lost a lot of home playoff games.
Matter of fact, they have some of the biggest blowout wins at home. Yeah. Like, I remember when they beat the Oakland Raiders, but it was like 58-3. To go to their first Super Bowl, the one they lost to the Giants.
Right.
Yeah.
51-3.
Yeah.
So they don't have, like, those horrific, just brutal, rip your you-know-what-out home losses.
No.
When you're at the Super Bowl, it's a different atmosphere when you lose a brutal game.
Yeah.
When you're at Arrowhead, different atmosphere. I do imagine, like, what would it have been like if that was Orchard Park?
Well, I mean, you got to go the flip of that, though. What would Kansas City have been like had the Bills won the game in overtime?
It's different. They've been a four straight title game, three straight. Four straight title games.
You know,
they've won a Super Bowl.
I know what they would have did.
Different.
I know what they would have did.
What?
I know exactly what they would have did.
What?
They would have climbed into the Mahomes family box, and they would have gotten Jackson Mahomes, and he would not have gotten out of the building alive.
They would have blamed him?
Yes.
That poor guy?
Because, you know, he and Patrick's fiance, after the game, they're spraying champagne on everybody.
That's cool.
You know,
I like that.
And they've made themselves these like TikTok stars, but most people find them to be incredibly obnoxious and unlikable. Fair, that's what it is.
No doubt.
So if the Chiefs had lost that game,
they would have turned on them?
They would have climbed into that box like it was January 6th at the Capitol. Yeah. We want Jackson Mahomes! And there would have been dudes dressed up like, Daniel Boone storming into the Mahomes box. They would have carried his body out. Yeah.
That's your best line in weeks.
Yeah, the luckiest guy on the planet that the Chiefs won that game, and he doesn't even know it, is Jackson Mahomes. Yeah, and it is true. We double-checked the stats. Patrick threw for more yards in the last 2 minutes of the game in overtime than Zach Wilson threw in 9 games this year. So,
oh, by the way, just to fact-check a little bit. On Saturday, nobody threw a touchdown pass except for Ryan Tannehill. Joe Burrow didn't throw a touchdown pass. He only scored one touchdown.
Joe Burrow did not throw a touchdown pass.
It was a rushing.
He threw for neither did Garoppolo.
Neither did Jimmy Garoppolo. So Aaron Rodgers was not alone in not throwing a touchdown pass.
I'll take that. That's on me. I'll take that one.
It's all right.
If you guys want to attack me, feel free.
Well, how many? Out of curiosity, do you have the number? How many yards did Patrick Mahomes throw for in the last?
I don't know.
You have an estimate?
No idea.
The only reason I bring it up is your boy. Jimmy G threw for a grand total of 131 yards.
Well, then he out-threw him, too.
Okay. Yeah. I just want that out there.
I think he threw for something like 170 yards or something.
In the last, you include overtime?
Yeah. If you include, overtime, he threw for 75 yards.
Right.
So that's a 75 clip right there. And what did he throw for in the last two possessions of regulation? Which both took place...
Like 45 yards? 50 yards?
Well, the last play alone.
How many yards was the Kelce play?
Which, the touchdown or
before the field goal.
I want to say 40, 35.
So about 60 yards on the second to last drive.
Yeah, but I said final 2 minutes of the game.
Oh, but you
plus
know what,
overtime.
Craig, it's not even close.
Yeah.
When you add it up, he destroyed Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
Grand total.
Yeah,
that's
so
your boy.
Yeah, so you're talking essentially the last 5 minutes of the game that includes overtime. He threw for more yards. Hell, you better go check the other quarterbacks, too.
You got to check everybody.
He might have outthrown Tannehill.
Yeah, well, Tannehill didn't throw for a lot of
yards. How many yards
either?
Did Tannehill throw for on Saturday?
Let me see.
Yeah.
He threw 3 interceptions. I do remember that.
By the way,
he threw for 220.
All right, so he's got him. But not by much.
Yeah.
Not by much. How many? Can you go... On the final play of the final drive of the Niners-Packers game, how many completions did Jimmy have on that drive before the field goal win it?
Two, right?
Yeah,
it was two for I'd say combined 25 to 28
right,
yards. He made plays.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and rip Jimmy G.
I was asking just so I had that right. It was two completions on their final drive that led to the field goal when presumptive favorite to win another MVP award completed zero.
Bro, Aaron Rodgers choked. Yeah. We all know it. I have been a Rodgers defender, if you will. There's no denying what happened. I get special teams played a big part of this. But when you have the opening drive and the second drive in which you're marching down the field, and I get it. It wasn't his fault that Mercedes Lewis fumbled the football. Their offense was limp from that moment on. And he came up small in the biggest moments. So I don't want to hear about, special teams, block, punt, block, field goal. You know what? Score more than 10 points.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're in your own freaking building, and you're Aaron Rodgers. He choked, and his legacy is going to be this. Look, he won a Super Bowl. No one could take that away. It was a great run they had in 2010. All those games on the road, too. But since then, he has come up as small as any other great quarterback in a big spot.
And he also forgot he had Lazar on his team. One catch, six yards. That dude was money good all year.
So think one about catch, this. Think about yards. This. Giant fans, you're going to like this. I'm preparing you. The Green Bay Packer run of Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. Amazing. Two quarterbacks, 100 years. Incredible.
I know where you're going.
How many championships did that gain for
two.
The Green Bay Packers?
Gave them two.
That would be two?
That's two, sir.
Okay, now they did go to three, but they won two.
That's right.
Okay.
They won two.
How many did Eli win?
Here we go with this argument.
It's not an argument.
Yes, they won two.
No, it's not an argument. There's no argument, Craig. I'm just pointing out that...
Yes, that's a great era of Green Bay quarterbacks... Produced 3 appearances and 2 championships. Agreed.
Listen, as a fan, it's all about titles. Yeah. Like, when Durant retires in 5 years, will I say I got to watch an all-time great player? I will. But in the next breath, you know what I'm going to say? I won nothing.
Right. Well, he's won nothing without Steph Curry.
That's not the argument.
Oh, sorry.
It's my own fandom point. Like, if you're a Packer fan, congratulations. You've had two quarterbacks for 50 years. Great. What'd you win?
Yeah, you won twice.
You won twice, which is fine, more than me.
So more than we got.
But if you're a Giant fan, you could look at them. And by the way, Eli beat both of those guys on the road.
Yep. 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 The question is, which franchise would you rather be a fan of?
Well, the Packers.
Easily, right? Easily. I mean, you have more hardware in the last 20 years, but they've had more winning seasons and obviously more playoff appearances and all that.
Yeah, but look at all the brutal losses.
Yeah, that's what makes fans fans, though. That's why I never take us for granted, because Bills fans are going to sell out the place next year. They're showing up,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Look, jokes aside, of course I'd rather be the Bills, rather be the Packers. That moment, that night, that week, that month. Look, there are losses I'm still not over. I mean, a lot of them, not just the recent ones. So I can only imagine how the true diehard Buffalo Bill or even Green Bay Packer fan feels right now. But, hey, you're successful every year.
877-337-6666. That's the number for you to call.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan, WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
But for those of you that are lifelong New York Islander fans, just want to send thoughts, prayers out to the family of Clark Gillies, who passed away over the weekend, 67 years young, and to those of you who are, you know, longtime Islander fans, who feel a little empty after the weekend when you heard the news of his passing. I just wanted to send our condolences out there.
Amen. He's one of those guys where if you're my age, you know the name. You may not remember him as a player, but you know all about him. You know he was an enforcer. You know he was a four-time champion. And you always saw him around the building, the old building and the new building. He was chugging beers at the playoffs last year. It was freaking awesome. He's a part of the Islander family. So condolences to his family. He'll definitely be missed.
Yeah, I didn't know that he was sick, but I guess he had been fighting an illness for a while.
No one knew either, by the
way. Yeah, and they didn't announce it either. No. So, so Clark Gillies did pass away at 67. So thoughts and condolences to everyone out there that news crushed, because I know for a lot of people, that was crushing.
It was
news.
Stunning. Yeah. That's the thing about it. When there's a guy who's around all the time, 67 is still young,
It felt like it really came out of nowhere because none of us knew the battle that he was having with cancer. So it definitely took me by surprise. Friday night after the game, all of a sudden I hear that news. And it's like, what happened? So, yeah, very devastating and stunning news for the Islander family.
Here's a good question from Jay and Mets. If Tyreek Hill starts on the goal line, what yard line would you have to start on to beat him to the other goal line?
The other 30. I'm not kidding. I'd have to be at the opponent's 30.
I mean, even then it might be close.
It may be tight.
Could you imagine
Have you ever seen the freeze in Atlanta? It's related to this.
The freeze.
So the Atlanta Braves have a competition. Oh.
Yes, I have. Okay. Because I saw one guy thought he had it won,
right,
and he stumbled right at the finish line.
So basically, they have that competition with this guy known as the Freeze. I think he's a former track star.
Yeah, I imagine he is.
And a fan in the middle of each game gets a head start against the Freeze with a chance to beat him around the warning track. And the Freeze never loses. And that would essentially be Tyreek Hill if he raced any human being.
That's a good question. I would have to think about it. I'd like to say... Like if you gave him a 40-yard, if he gave me a 40-yard head start, I'd probably lose.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good question. You think you'd have to start on the 30?
Yes.
Wow. Like a 70-yard head start?
Yeah.
In a 30-yard, at a 100-yard race?
Yeah. I'm slow and he's fast. What more do you need to know?
Like how long? And I've seen you run. You are slow.
Yeah.
Like, how long would you run the 40 in?
I have no idea.
I'm going to say 6 seconds.
I am willing to do it.
Maybe 6.5.
Once the weather gets warmer, I'd be curious and I'd time myself. I have no issue with that. So I'd love to kind of test myself and see how long it would take.
I would think, I'm going to be nice here. You're 6 to 6.5 seconds in the 40.
Okay.
So if he runs a 4.2, right?
Mm-hmm.
He runs 4.2. If you could hold a 4.2, which would be hard to do for 100 yards. A 4.2.
Yeah, but Craig,
would be...
I'm not holding a 6.2.
Yeah, but hold on. I'm just trying. I'm doing the math.
Okay.
So a 4.2 over 100 yards would be 8.4 and 2.1. 8.4 and 2.1 is a 10.3. 10.3 divided by 10 is essentially 1. Right?
I'm lost.
So it would take him
right now.
So he would beat you.
Yeah. Wow. Of course he would.
Wow, you are slow.
Well, he's also fast.
And he's really fast. Like, he's fast against fast people.
Yeah, I mean, it's a combination of those two things. I am slow, as are you. You'll make up some injury you have. And he's really
fast. I do have a torn rotator cuff and labrum.
And there it is.
I've got the Baker Mayfield injury, but unlike Baker, I don't get it operated on. That's right. Who's the tougher guy now?
Right. I'd like to see you get hit by 330-pound defensive tackles.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on that. At this stage of my life, that's a pass for me. Here's Sal in Yorktown on the Fan. Sal, what's going on?
Hey, guys, enjoy the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Before I get to my point, Greg, I'm a retired correction officer.
Yes.
And I had Denny McLean back in the day.
Yeah.
I love talking sports. I would have loved to have talked sports with you.
Well, yeah, it's funny. It's funny that you actually talked to him while he was away because that's the first thing you learn before you go away is don't talk to the COs.
So you wouldn't have talked to Sal.
No, we never would have spoken. Yeah.
Come on.
No, I'm sorry. I learned very early on. I was told very early on. Before I even went there, I was told, you might be the nicest guy in the world. Don't talk to the COs. So that's that.
Why?
Because
you're a rat?
Yeah, you're viewed as a rat.
No, not always.
All right,
so listen, guys, the reason why I called, Evan, I disagree with you a little bit about the call.
Which call are we talking about?
The call about getting the ball back.
The Eric Weddle call.
Oh, the dead ball personal foul penalty, yes.
Okay. Here's why I say the rule is right. And I don't necessarily agree with it. If they intercept the ball and start returning it, and then there's a penalty, well, the other team doesn't get the ball
back. It's different. I'm glad you brought that up, but it's very different. Just like if there's a taunting penalty, it has nothing to do with the play. We are talking about something that was microscopic. Like the football hitting the ground and Weddle making contact with Evans was separated by a second. Like, I can't separate those moments and say, well, the play's over, then he drills him in the head.
Obviously, on an interception return, yeah, you're not going to give the ball back. That's why common sense to me says that drive needs to extend. He drilled him a second after the ball technically touched the ground.
Yeah, it's a second, a few seconds. You know, what's the difference? We can't keep giving the offense.
Well, here's the deal. So here's the deal.
And we have too many rules in the NFL.
In the thanks, Al, and I appreciate your work, buddy. In based on what took place, there is no difference between a millisecond and 10 seconds because that's the rule.
But there is a difference.
The ball hit the ground.
Okay, now let's use common sense.
No, you don't like the rule. I'm saying
of course.
The rule, there's no difference.
Yeah, I have
ball's
a problem.
Ball's dead.
Look, I don't know how you rewrite the rule in the best possible way, but let's all use our common sense on this. That penalty was related to the play.
Yes. Well, here's a better example. Let's say Tom Brady throws the ball 10 yards over Evan's head.
Mm-hmm.
But the ball's not yet hit the ground, the wall, the fan, or anything. The ball's in the air. As long as that ball's in the air, if Weddle cracks Evans when he does, then you're getting interference.
Yes. Or, because it's a great point.
And Tampa might win the game.
What if it knocked off of a defender's hand into the air for
correct.
An extra second?
Yeah.
Same thing. That's where the common sense part comes in.
Yeah, well, it's the referees got it right, though.
Yes.
The rule's stupid.
I got a problem with the rule.
The referees got it
right. Don't you have a problem with the rule?
No, I do not.
Really?
I don't.
You think that microsecond should really be the difference between
really
a dead ball foul?
I don't have a major problem with it. I don't. I'd be lying if I told you.
And here's the funny thing. It would have benefited Tom Brady.
They might have won the game.
I am not rooting for Tom Brady to be benefited. I'm just trying to be honest. Even though Tom Brady was freaking out when he had a little bit of blood and couldn't believe that Sean Hockley didn't call a roughing the passer, and then Hockley called Tom Brady for complaining too much,
essentially. They're so stupid. They got three fouls like that, you know, 15-yard penalties.
Taunting, if you will.
Just stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand why Brady's pissed, and clearly he wasn't lying because he did have a bloody lip.
He did.
So it's not as if he was lying about it. And we all saw it afterwards. He got hit. Wow. It's amazing, though, that all the games he's played, all the snaps he's taken, all the attempted passes he's made in his career, we're talking thousands and thousands and thousands, that's the first time he got called for a penalty.
Yes.
For a misconduct
first
penalty.
Time it ever happened.
And what's funny, I was watching on Friday, he did that that weekly kiss-ass thing he does with Jim Gray,
mm-hmm.
who carries his luggage. He was asked about whether or not he thinks he gets the benefit of calls.
Yep.
Like, this just came up on Friday.
I know. The timing of it was strange.
And he said, I think you should check. Like, I get less than anyone. I forget the exact call they were debating.
Right. Roughing the passer.
Roughing the passer. He goes, the reality is, I do not get a lot of roughing the passer calls, maybe less than most of the guys that you're comparing me to. So they fact checked it, and Brady happens to be right. And then here we are in the game.
He also gets hit less. It's not really a fair apples to apples comment.
But he gets cracked in the mouth. He's got a bloody lip.
Well, the best part about the whole thing was after the game, Sean Hockley.
Who's Ed's son.
Yes. He talks about why he gave Tom Brady the penalty. And his quote was, he got in my face in an aggressive manner and used abusive language.
Well, you know what that is. We all know what that is. CS.
Yeah, probably.
That's what that is. It could be MF in the foot, maybe. Like, if he's in your face going, you mother, you're going to get the flag.
But he probably went CS. I just hate that. Even the taunting penalty, and they don't call it fairly, because in the Kansas City game, Tyreek Hill was doing his peace sign thing, and there was no taunting penalty.
Nor should there have been.
I'm glad, but then they call it all the time elsewhere.
Yeah. To me, I don't think you should ever be called for taunting mid-play. If you do something after the play and you're acting like a jerk or whatever it may be, although I'm not sensitive to it, I like it, okay, fine, call it. But if it's during the play, I think you got to tip your cap.
Well,
because I was during the play.
I get you. I don't even like the taunting penalty after the play. Let the player show emotion.
By the way, Evan.
Why is that a problem? Why are we so offended by that?
Think about this. He peace-signed him on the 15-yard line.
He did do that.
On the 15. He knows I'm going in.
Yes.
Peace. By the way, you guys have the audio in there. Did you hear why his explanation afterwards?
About the peace sign?
Tyreek Hill, he was asked about giving the peace sign.
Did someone give it to him? Isn't that where it came from?
No, I mean specifically, someone said to him, hey, you know, were you taunting there
right.
when you flipped up the peace sign? He had a great answer for it.
What was his answer?
And here it is.
I even flashed the peace sign, you know what I'm saying? One time, trying to spread peace and love, baby. But, you know, everything happened for a reason.
Guy, I'm just trying to spread the peace and love.
What?
Can't we all get along? I'm just spreading peace and love. Peace.
No, I've got no problem with it. I think it's great.
I'm with you. You got to let players at this level, you want to do something in college or high school, I get that. But at the professional level, adults getting paid, I think we got to let some of that stuff go.
And you know who's to blame for this?
Who's to blame for what? The cracking
down
of it?
The penalties and why they call it. The guy to blame for it is John Mara. Because John Mara was the one who was quoted as saying, no one wants to see a player taunting another player.
Oh, I do.
And I remember when he said it, I said, John, who are you talking about?
Yeah.
You don't want to see a player taunting another player?
Was that off of... That doesn't go back to Odell, does it?
No.
More recent than that?
It was definitely more recent than that. It was just his opinion.
Because if you're going to go to Odell, then you got to go to Randy Moss before that.
No, it was recently when they made this change. And, like, I respect that John Mara has a different opinion. I do. But he acted as if we all agree with him. We don't. Most football fans hate the taunting penalties. We're not offended by things. We're not like, oh, my God, can you believe he did that? Oh, 15-yard penalty.
Yeah, which also, I mean, when you're talking about a 65-year-old white guy, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe the game's passing by a bit. Meanwhile, speaking of Odell Beckham, you may have heard this. You know, a lot of guys, I shouldn't say that's a poor way to describe it. There's been a number of guys lately who want to show that they're really hip and cool and up with the times who have said to the teams that they're negotiating contracts with, hey, I want you to pay me in Bitcoin, right? Or partially in Bitcoin. Well, Odell Beckham is one of those guys. And the deal that he made with the Rams, he wanted it to be paid in part in Bitcoin. All right. Now, he wound up doing a deal with a Bitcoin company. So his is a little bit more convoluted than just saying X percent of my salary is paid in Bitcoin. That being said, I want to walk you through something real quick. Bitcoin, as a lot of these cryptocurrencies, have taken a bath lately. Like, they're at the lowest they've been in a couple years, I guess, okay? So Odell Beckham signed a deal with the Rams. I think that was worth $750,000, all right? And Beckham was going to convert that into part of his deal with a Bitcoin company. The name of the company is irrelevant, okay? But because of the decrease in the value of Bitcoin, Odell Beckham's deal has a value of X. It is less, I will tell you, than $750,000. Do you want to take a guess on what it's worth?
Wow. So all because he wanted to get paid in Bitcoin this happens?
Well, here's the deal.
And he's got to wait for it to go back up, assuming it does go back up.
According to, there's two different stories out there. Dan Revell's got one, and this guy, Weston Blasey's got the other one, okay? According to the story, when he was given the contract for $750,000 and was going to convert it into Bitcoin or receive it in Bitcoin, mm-hmm. Bitcoin was worth $64,000 per coin, all right? It is now worth $35,000 per coin.
Wow, so he probably lost half, I would say.
So the Odell Beckham contract of $750,000 has netted him $35,000.
That's brutal.
Now, obviously...
And it could have gone the other way, obviously.
Let me be clear.
Like if Bitcoin went through the roof, right? It would have turned in a huge number.
He didn't sell it. So just a paper value.
Right.
But if he went to sell the Bitcoin he got for his Rams contract, it'd be worth $35,000. Now, if he holds it and Bitcoin comes back up, which it has frequently, and it goes up more than that, yeah, it could be worth a lot more than that.
Gotcha.
So there you go. So the deal is worth today in Bitcoin dollars, $400,000. So he would have netted $35,000 from the Rams for this contract year. It's a little convoluted, but there's like a professional soccer player who played the entire year. And because his contract was in Bitcoin, he lost $15,000 this year.
That's crazy.
Playing professional soccer.
I think Spencer Dinwiddie now with the Wizards has his entire contract in
Bitcoin. You're not allowed to do the entire contract.
So then whatever the max
I believe the max that's allowed in the NBA is half.
Oh.
You could check me on that. But and I know it's complicated for a lot of people, but you know, Odell Beckham Jr. basically, based on the current value of Bitcoin, is playing for free. He's playing for free. So he'll make more money in the postseason because that's not attached to Bitcoin
right.
than he did in the regular season. So, yeah, sometimes people think they're a little too hip for the room. Hold on to your money. Or maybe now's a good time to buy. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It's the opposite.
Right? Like, how many Bitcoins can you buy now?
I mean, isn't it? What's the difference between that and me in the Chiefs Bill game betting the Chiefs money line right after the Bills went up with 13 seconds left? Like, what's the difference? Isn't it, aren't you basically just playing the stocks in kind of a way and then you sell at the right time?
On a very macro level, yes.
Similar, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes. I've told Evan off the air. I said this on the air last Friday. You know, if you're going to in-game wager, it's day trading stocks.
Right.
It's the exact
right.
same right. thing. But the only way to do it, I've said this before and I said it in an interview the other day, that if you really want to make money gambling, that's the only way to really
do it. Well, it's funny. What I did on Sunday.
But it takes such discipline to do it. Most people don't have it because most people wager with their hearts.
But one thing I did is when the Bills went up with 13 seconds to go, I money-lined the Chiefs. They kicked the field goal on that miraculous drive, and then I took a payout, which was a big win. Because at the time, like the odds of them coming back on the money line were like 23-1. So it's kind of the same thing. It's buying a stock and then deciding, hey, I could go for more. Like I can hold on to this stock thinking the Chiefs are going to win, or I could just sell out. I sold out, rightfully so.
Yeah, you should. I've told you. If the goal is to make money and it's not just an entertainment, like, hey, I went to see a show, so I dropped $50 on a Broadway show,
right.
And it's not about making money, then yeah, do what you want. But if it's about making money, then get out.
Yes.
Because as I was told many years ago, it's okay to win.
And here's the thing. When the Chiefs tie that game, didn't we all have the same thought, which was this game is going to be determined by who wins the coin toss? Like, just the way that game was going, it felt that way. Now, it doesn't always work out that way. I'll never forget one of the great playoff games of all time was Aaron Rodgers' first ever playoff game against the Arizona Cardinals. We mentioned it to Kurt Warner when he was here that one time. 51-45. It was 45-45 in overtime, this great offensive battle. And the game ended, not on a touchdown, not on an offensive play, Carlos Dansby's fumble return for a touchdown. So sometimes you're wrong, but I think most of us sitting there last night said to ourselves, whoever wins the coin toss is going to win the football game. They're going to drive.
I felt that
they're
way,
they're going to score a touchdown, and that's going to be it.
I think we all felt that way, right? We all felt like whoever wins this coin toss, and there was, why wouldn't you think that? I mean, both teams, all they did was score touchdowns back and forth in the last few minutes of the game. There was no doubt that whoever won that toss was winning the game.
No question.
And then you know exactly what was going to happen after that. Every jackass with a microphone or a camera on their phone was going to go online going, the NFL overtime rules suck. Yeah. They cost the Bills. No, they didn't. You know what cost the Bills a chance to go to the championship game? Their defense.
Now,
I don't like the rule, but the rule's not why they lost.
I will tell you something interesting.
You knuckleheads.
So, a year or two ago, I forget the year, there was an NFL team that proposed to the competition committee changing the overtime rule, okay? They wanted each team guaranteed a possession. They proposed it. Trivia question. Do you know the team that made the proposal?
The team that made the proposal?
That both teams have to possess the ball in overtime. Like, what? There was a team in the NFL that went to the competition committee.
Oh, tell me it's Kansas City.
The answer is the Kansas City Chiefs. And here's why.
They were the only team?
They were the team, and here's why. When they lost the AFC Championship game to Tom Brady and the New England Patriots in 2018. We all think of that offsides call on D-Ford, right? It went to overtime. The Patriots won the coin toss, and Patrick Mahomes never saw the field.
Right.
So a few years ago, this was the Kansas City fans saying, oh, my God, we got
this
screwed.
This is unacceptable.
Bah, 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 bah. And so they were the team. I forget what year it was. A year ago, 2 years ago, maybe it was right after that championship game. They were the ones that made the official proposal.
Yeah.
That each team gets pretty glad.
Well, it's all in the moment, right? I don't like the rule. I never have. But that's not why you lose the game. Your defense didn't get the job done.
Of course.
That's why you lost the game.
Look, there are many reasons why you lose a game, many reasons why you win a game. Obviously, winning that coin toss would have been monumental. But this is the rule. And the rule before that, you could have simply kicked the field goal.
By the way, what did he call it? Heads or tails?
Tails.
He did.
Yeah.
Boy, tails never fails.
Well.
I would have had that too. I'm always tails. Always call tails.
Oh, you would have lost.
I would have lost. Yeah, no doubt. I wish he had called heads.
You want a Buffalo to win?
No, because I believe, you know, I always call tails. Like, I wish that it was tails and he called heads.
Oh, you win?
Yeah.
I'm confused.
Like, I'm not changing the outcome of that game for anything.
I get it. You wanted it to be like, wrong either way.
Yeah, it's great. Do I feel bad for Bills fans? No. I don't. And I'll tell you why. I don't feel bad for you. I respect the fandom. I really do. You're as good any fan base in any professional sport. So I got mad love for you. And I lived in Buffalo. We're good. We're solid, me and you people. But here's why I don't feel bad for you. May I take you back a few years, Evan?
Mm-hmm.
We had a middle-aged man quarterbacking for our team. His name was Ryan Fitzpatrick. Okay? We had a wide receiver who has become a self-appointed TV star, but also put up great numbers. We were on our way to the postseason, and we felt like, yes, we've somehow discovered the post-Rex Ryan answer. We can get there with a journeyman quarterback having the year of his life. All we had to do was go to Orchard Park, New York, and beat, at the time, a lowly Buffalo Bills team that, yes, was being coached by our former coach. And we went up there, and it seems to me, my memory of it, is that Ryan Fitzpatrick set a record for the worst quarterback play anyone has ever seen in the history of the NFL.
He wasn't good.
I recognize that I'm probably not accurate.
Darrell Revis wasn't good either. Todd Bowles wasn't good either, but I digress.
And the Buffalo Bill fans celebrated them knocking the Jets out of the postseason that day. And I don't forget. So, do I feel for you? No. I don't. I don't shed a tear for you. I don't feel badly for you. I don't wonder what it's like to deal with that kind of pain. It sucks. But you did it to us, and you celebrated it. You danced on our souls and our graves that day, and I never forgot. So while it sucks being you today, sorry.
Don't
feel bad for you. Not sorry.
Don't you have to be at a higher ground to feel bad?
I don't know.
Because how could I feel bad for another franchise when my franchise has won nothing? You know what I mean? Like, my compassion card is out the window.
So who feels bad for them? Yankee fans? Like,
Look, I think there is some Giant fans that feel bad for them. I don't think they have any ill towards the Bills. The Giant fan has won. I'm just saying you and I, with football at least, and basketball, we have won nothing. We have never seen our teams win anything.
Yeah,
so
nothing.
While I am desperately hoping that one of these days, maybe this year, I get to go to a celebration and watch my team win a title, my compassion, I don't have it anymore.
No.
Like, why the hell would I feel bad? And what makes me wonder is that the Kansas City Chiefs 4 years ago were essentially the New York Jets. They had won a Super Bowl to legitimize the AFL, and they did nothing for the next 45 years.
Yeah.
We were the same. There was no difference. In fact, the Jets had more success than the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, they're on the birth of being a dynasty.
Well, we saw epic football this weekend. Obviously, did not include the Jets or Giants because we don't play the same football these teams play.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.